Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, got a lot to get to coming up here with Mike Schilt. Our manager's report is just moments away. Paulie's calling him up right now from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where the Padres will open a three-game series against the Pirates in a nine-game road trip. Tonight at PNC Park, it's a 3:40 first pitch San Diego time, 2:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt here in San Diego. But right now, our manager's report with Mike Schilt is refreshed by Eco Water SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. Eco Water SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. And we're joined right now by the manager of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schilt. And Mike, last week I was off on Friday and AJ was on with us. And apparently he made a lot of fun of me while I wasn't here. So with Woods out sick today, the floor is yours if you want to return the favor for Woodsy this week.
No, I think I got on probation last year, so I want to play clean and good in the sandbox. I don't want any rip.
Fair enough. I was lucky enough to run into you on Tuesday when I was in the clubhouse. Yeah, that was cool. The day Louisa Rise was back, and I wanted to ask you. It looked like you were carrying a piece of pie through the. Was that pie you were eating on Tuesday?
No, sir. I don't eat pie.
It wasn't pie.
But I'm not sure.
You don't know?
I'm not sure what it was.
Wasn't all right. I thought I had whipped cream
Ben's
on it.
Ben's been telling us for like four days
this week. It looked like a piece of pie,
and
I wanted to ask what you were having, and then I never asked you. Yeah. Now you've forgotten what it was you were eating on Tuesday.
No worries. I don't eat sweets, so I know it wasn't pie.
All right. He doesn't eat sweets. Well, that's healthy. That's a good life choice that
we should all misinformation over here, Ben.
No pie. Apparently not pie. All right. A lot has happened, obviously, since we talked 2 weeks ago, including the Louisa Rise collision at first base. In hindsight, now that he's back, how scary was that moment, and how glad are you to have Louie back on the field now?
Very glad for a lot of reasons. I mean, look, you know, just from a safety standpoint, just a health standpoint, concern for him, you know, the human side of it. Man, what a nasty collision. You know, you get out there, and we don't see a lot of collisions like that in our game. And, you know, I've done this for a while, and seen some, you know, mostly like hit by pitches up in the head region that are really super scary. But, you know, that was you get out there, and, you know, he was still coming back to regaining consciousness when I got there. So, and he was just still, he was completely still, as everybody saw. And it's like, oh man, wait a minute, what are we dealing with here? And, you know, so he kind of got back to us and started moving, you know, a little bit. And so clearly that was a relief. And, you know, so we played the game, and, you know, the guys found a way to, you know, bring it home, but with a heavier heart. And, you know, immediately after the game, everybody's concerns for Louie. And thankfully he'd gotten back from the hospital, and initial testing had checked out cognitively and from a CT standpoint physically. So that was a huge relief. We got to see him. You know, Louie's a big hugger. So, it's like, you know, don't hug him too hard, you know. But then the week was, you know, rightfully went into concussion protocol, and was able to get through that, you know, in the 7 days, got the extra day on Monday to kind of get through, got them back to baseball activity, you know, towards that end of that whole, you know, that week leading into the Giant series, and I was able to get back healthy and back to Louie Arise, who we love in all phases.
So glad to have him back. Now, you guys are in Pittsburgh tonight, PNC Park, and I know, you know, certain guys like hit well in certain parks. They just like maybe the batter's eye. They feel comfortable there. I got this stat, though, from your guy Darren Feeney, and this was amazing. So I don't even know if you know this one. He says, you have managed 30 games at PNC Park in your career. You are 25-5 in those games. That is the highest winning percentage in the history of baseball among any manager at any major league park. You are ahead of Jim Muttry, who went 26-6 at Metropolitan Park, and George Wright, who was 34-8 at the Messer Street Grounds. Do managers feel comfortable and certain? Do they have a really good visiting clubhouse or office that you just really like it there at PNC Park, Mike?
You know, I can't answer that. You know, I like all the ballparks. The guys here are great. Kevin, the clubhouse guy's phenomenal. I enjoy the stadium. I like the city. You know, who's to say? Yeah, let's just figure out a way to win tonight and have a good series.
All right, you'll have Dylan Cease on the mound tonight. And I don't know, to me, he looks a lot like, you know, Dylan Cease from last season, but the results haven't been quite there. What are you seeing from Dylan? What are you looking from him for tonight? Anything different, or just you feel like if he keeps doing the same stuff, it's going to start working out a little bit better?
I think he's continues to get closer. He's, you know, listen, we have, you know, as does Dylan, high expectations, right? So anything short of those, it's like, what's wrong? And you still watch the stuff coming out, and you know, a lot of balls fell in Sacramento, so that skewed a lot of his numbers, but. But outside of that game, you know, he's done more than his fair share to keep us in every game. Yeah, I think he's you know, been able to give us a chance. And the big thing probably he's still working on, just the consistency and, you know, getting being able to repeat that plus-plus slider he's got. I think that's been one of the bigger keys for him, is being able to get that to a good place where it's got the late depth. It's looking like a strike out of the hand that either ends up, you know, in a good part of the strike zone or just off that creates, you know, even more soft contact, which he gets a ton of. And this guy's really hard to barrel. No one's really barreled him. And that's the part that clearly is encouraging. But to get back to the swing and miss slider.
Talking to Mike Schilt, it's our manager's report, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. And I don't believe that at least the team has officially announced any starter beyond tonight. I know you're going to need a fifth starter here with six games in a row on this road trip. And there's also some weather possible in Pittsburgh the next couple of days. And I'm sure that all factors in. What's kind of the idea, the pitching plan going forward for this road trip?
Yeah, we'll have Vasquez start tomorrow, okay. And then we'll go TBD. On Sunday, and then we'll pick up with Pivetta, King, and Cease in New York.
All right, Pivetta and King to start the series in New York, so they'll figure it out on Sunday. It's a little news from Mike Schilt here. Tonight is also, Mike, your first Apple TV game of the season. You've already had a couple of the ESPN Sunday night games where they, you know, interview you between innings and they mic up players. There's some extra segments and work. How do those work for you? Are they inconvenient, or maybe you like them? I mean, what's it like when you get those national TV broadcasts?
Yeah, you know, when the game starts, we're just playing the game. You know, you don't know whether, at least for me, you know, you're aware it's Sunday night baseball because you're playing later in the day on Sunday. So, but once the game starts, it's not like, hey, this is, you know, I'm not overly thoughtful about it. The only thing different is, to your point, Ben, is the interviews. And I don't mind the interview in between an inning. We set it up earlier in the game. So, you know, because a lot of times in between innings, especially as we get later in the games, you know, there's conversations, decisions that need to be made. So clearly don't want those compromised. But earlier in the game's fine. Typically there's not anything that, you know, the only challenge I've had in the past is, you know, when they started it, they tried to do it like during the game. That hasn't taken place as much over the last couple of years, but, you know, years ago there was a situation where during the game they wanted to do an interview, and, you know, we started off and Bader hit a double, and I was like, I got to go, you know, like, I got to go manage the game.
I can see that. I can see
that.
I love
that too much, but, you know, anyway, it's fine, you know, have the in-game interview, and you know, access is important to our game, and we'd also recognize that, you know, how this game works. You know, we're only here for, you know, from the access that we are able to give to the fans, and the, you know, they're a part of how we and why we are able to do this. So want to make sure that we're grateful for that and giving what we can.
Well, we talked to Tricia Whitaker this morning earlier, and she's presumably the one who will be interviewing you for Apple. She seemed like a big fan, and she was looking forward to it, to seeing you tonight. So be nice to her, because she was nice to us.
I'm nice to everyone.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you always are.
I try my best, at least.
I mentioned your record at PNC Park. I did my own research for this one, and I know you're a baseball history buff. I've heard you talk about Jackie Robinson and the Negro Leagues, and you know, you've just been in the game for so long. So the next stop on this trip, Monday, Yankee Stadium. And I looked it up. Correct me if I'm wrong. You have never managed a big league game at Yankee Stadium. Is that something that you are looking forward to, checking off maybe the bucket list?
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I mean, it really is. You know, it's an unbelievable privilege to have the job that I have, especially for the San Diego Padres. And everything that's so great about the Friar faithful and the city of San Diego and Petco Park and you know, of course, you know, I get to work with AJ, who I love, and, you know, top of the list is, you know, the kind of players we have. So, that, you know, you just get so grateful for all the different things and, you know, personally don't make it about me, but yeah, it is cool. You know, last year, just the way the quirky schedules work out, COVID was, got things a little sideways for the ability to go manage in some different places. And last year was able to, you know, go to Baltimore, which is really cool to me because that's where my, you know, mom and dad are from, that area. And my dad proposed to my mom at the old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. So that was super cool. The history of the Yankees, it's, you know, the last ballpark that I have not managed in against the historic team. But I look forward to it.
Talking to Padres manager Mike Schilt this morning on Ben and Woods. It's the Manager's Report brought to you by EcoWater SoCal. Mike, we were talking earlier about Luis Arraez. You had Jason Hayward return to the lineup this week as well. Still missing quite a few guys, most notably, you know, Jackson Merrill, Jake Cronenworth, Brandon Lockridge, Yu Darvish behind them. Did any of those guys make the trip yet? I saw that there has been some action out in Arizona, some game action. I'm just curious if there's any updates. I know you did talk about it on Wednesday after the game, but has anything changed in the last 48 hours with any of those guys?
They're still moving to a good spot. They're all getting closer, some closer than others, but they're all getting close, and all are tracking to be able to join us. Locke, Jackson, and Crony to join us at some point on this trip. And so we're encouraged by all that.
All right. I wanted to ask you this, and I'm curious because this is one of your longer road trips, three cities, East Coast. What's your hotel routine on the road? First of all, do you unpack everything, every city, or do you just keep it in the suitcase because you know you're going to have to move on? Do you make like coffee or tea in the room with the little pods they give you, or do you go downstairs, just get it at the ballpark? And how often do you order room service, if you ever do, at the team hotel?
Okay, well, I have to unpack. Be happy to share.
Well, or not unpack, as it were.
Yeah, fair. Reasonable. On the packing front, you know, I carry two bags. And, you know, if you've done this a while like I have, you kind of get used to the scene. You know, I always wear a sport coat on the road because I think it represents the team appropriately. And, you know, always hang that up with the shirt. So that's ready to go for the next trip. I pack really pretty lightly. I carry my own pillow, because hotel pillows can be,
very true,
fairly different.
Yep.
So I keep continuity there. Sleep's important. I don't drink coffee or tea.
Okay.
I'm not a huge breakfast guy. So effectively, you know, days off are a little bit different, but in our schedule, I got here today at the ballpark at the hotel at 10 o'clock, woke up, read a little bit of the Bible, if you really are curious about my consistency of my routine.
They usually have one in every hotel room.
I think they do. I carry my own.
Nice. But, all right, you know.
But, yeah, then I walk over to the ballpark and get ready, and I usually – my first meal is usually the meal at the ballpark around 1 o'clock or so. I don't know if I answered everything.
You did. No room service then, because you eat in at the ballpark and you don't have breakfast.
Room service is typically on a day off.
Yeah.
But more like yesterday I'd prefer to, you know, go get something locally, get out, move around a little bit, enjoy the city I'm in to a degree, and then Only time I'll typically do room service is if, like, we travel and we get in kind of a little bit later and I'm still a little bit hungry, I might grab some wings or something.
Last thing for me, Schultzy, and I think I know the answer that you're going to give. I'm just curious, though. Now, in three tilts with the Pirates, two last year and the one you're about to start later today, you guys have missed Paul Skeens, one of the top pitchers in baseball. Do you look at that and go, ooh, glad we missed that guy? Or do you and your guys go, I want the best. I want to take this guy on. I'm just curious, when you saw that you probably weren't going to have to face him again this weekend.
A little both, quite frankly. I love the competition. Our guys enjoy it. You know, you want to compete. You want everybody. You want to be healthy. You want the other team to be healthy. You want everybody at their best. And everybody, you know, and then, you know, everybody gets their best shot at it. And you know, we have missed him the last, you know, three series we played this club. You know, they come to our place, so we'll see what that looks like. But you know, I'd like to see him. You know, I could compete against him. But we'll take it as it comes.
Mike, really appreciate it. Good answers today, and have a good road trip. Good luck to the team, and we'll see you when you guys get back to San Diego in about a little under 2 weeks. It's going to be a long one. Good luck.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Always enjoy our time. Appreciate you guys.
All right, there he is, Mike Schilt, manager of the San Diego Padres, and our manager's report refreshed by Eco Water SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. Eco Water SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. Yeah, right at the end of the interview, the lights went off in the studio because, and we've mentioned this before.
This has happened before. When
Paulie and I are not fidgety people. We both sit rather still, and the lights are on motion sensors. Woods, when he is here, the lights have never, ever, ever gone off. Not once. But usually on days when he's off, at some point during the show, the lights will turn off because Paulie and I tend to sit normally still in our chairs for 4 hours. That's just what happens.
I just noticed
here.
It was probably, it's 9:16. It was about 15-minute timer is my guess that these lights, they go off automatically unless you just kind of wiggle your arms, throw your arms up, then they'll turn back on. That has never happened. They have never turned off with Stephen Woods in the studio.
So now I have no idea what Mike was eating because there was a dollop of something. Right. Maggie says maybe it was sour cream. If he doesn't eat any sweets at all, pie. He doesn't eat any sweets. That's good. I mean, it's healthy. It's good. Takes his own pillow on the road. That is such a savvy move because I always get to the hotel and the pillows are never right. There's either not enough for me. They're too soft for me. I never think of taking my own pillow on the road. That is such a veteran move by Mike Schilt.
I think we were lied to this morning by Mike Schilt. I think we were lied. He sounded like I sound to my wife when I'm on vacation, when we're on the road or something. I don't like sweets. I never eat pie. Are you kidding me? No. Honey, I had a salad, and I washed that down with a kale smoothie. And
Who does he have to lie to? I don't know.
He's like, I don't like breakfast. I don't like them cinnamon rolls. I'm like, what?
Apparently not.
What? I think he was lying to us.
He did tell us something, though, and I think he was telling us the truth. So Randy Vasquez will pitch tomorrow, but then TBD, and as we speculated yesterday and approved of, Nick Pivetta will bounce back to Monday, so he and Michael King and Dylan Cease can go 1-2-3 against the Yankees in that series at Yankee Stadium next week. So we have most of the next six games covered. It's still Just Sunday will be the TBD, whether they call up someone, Kyle Hart, go with a bullpen day, go with a Ryan Burgert, who's already on the roster. They have a number of options, and I imagine how the next two games go could also determine the course of action. But little breaking news there from Mike Schilt ahead of the start of this road trip. We'll react more to the interview, take a quick timeout, come back. We also have some more of those boxing tickets to give away to the big bout coming to Pechanga Arena in less than 10 days. That is all coming up next in a Roundel Report after traffic. Here with Kelly Danick on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Before we head off to the weekend, though, I want to encourage everybody to check out SDFatLoss.com. Even if you aren't looking to lose weight, I promise you, you have a loved one who you've been trying to nudge. My wife was nudging me for a while. My mom was nudging me for a while. And you kind of have to come to it yourself. I'm so glad I found SDFatLoss.com, though. Really changed my life. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. That is not atypical. They do expect you to lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight during their 60-day program. And then when it was done, I felt so much better. Lighter on my feet, less back pain. I could exercise. You don't have to exercise to lose the weight. But I actually wanted to once I was done because I felt so much better. And I've been Pelotoning. You can walk the entire 18 holes, no problem, not out of breath anymore. It is such a difference maker for me. And I love that it was based on real foods because I hated the bars and I hated the shakes when I did other programs and didn't have to do that. I ate chicken. I ate steak. I ate vegetables. I lost the weight. You can do it as well safely with no drugs or injections. Just the great support from the counselor that you'll get at the SDFatLoss.com program. It is developed by doctors. It works. It worked for me. It worked for Scraby. It worked for Ella. Worked for John down the hall. So many tier ones. It can work for you as well. Just set up your free consultation, SDFatLoss.com. Get $200 off here. Still, spring special. Month of May at SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary. Down to our final two segments of the week. Wishing Woodsy the best. Speedy return on Monday morning. Let us know he was a little under the weather, and that's why he's not here today. We will have a Rundle report coming up for you. Headlines in our final segment of the day. But I want to thank again Mike Shildt, the manager of the San Diego Padres. Seemed like he was in a pretty good headspace to start this road trip. I'm sure the wins over the San Francisco Giants did not hurt this week to get his team back on track. And the idea that Jackson Merrill, if not, immediately returning, certainly sounds like is very close. You tried to wheedle it out of him. I was going to go the same direction. Like, are they on the trip with you? Are they there? He didn't really say. He made it sound like, again, what he said on Wednesday, that they are.
They could be joining them at
the
some
final.
Point.
They're in the final stages, and they do expect they are near the finish line of their rehab. But is any of them at the team hotel right now? Like, right. You know, if we started calling rooms, would one Jackson Merrill be there? Would one Brandon Lockridge be
Jackson
there?
Jackson Merrill get on the team plane on Wednesday, or did he have to fly?
More, did he have Arizona? I don't know if he. I think he was still in Arizona.
He was already in Arizona.
He probably would be meeting them wherever he was going from Phoenix Airport, not from
Hugh
San Diego.
Darvish? I mean, he just threw a bullpen. Is he in Arizona getting some work in?
Getting a little closer. Jake's supposed to start in about a week or so, I believe, with his rehab in Arizona. So, didn't give us that, but did give us the pitching layout for the next few days, which was interesting. TBD now on Sunday with Pavetta, King, and Cease lined up to face the New York Yankees. And he seemed excited to get to manage. He's managed every other ballpark now, and Yankee Stadium was the last one on his list. Told the nice story about how his mom and dad got engaged at the old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. That was probably pre-Jumbotron proposal days. I'd imagine it was just an at-the-game proposal, not one where you're on camera in front of the whole stadium at that point.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that was that's more of a social media modern 21st century proposal, and probably did not happen that way. But kind of nice story that a Major League Baseball manager, his parents got engaged at a Major League Baseball ballpark back in the day. All right, I did say we had some tickets to give away, and we do have one more pair of tickets to Top Rank Boxing Presents Navarrete versus Suarez at Pechanga Arena on May 10th. If you want to start calling now, you can. We'll take the sixth caller today at 833-288-0973. Three-time division champ Emmanuel Vaquero Navarrete defending his world title against unbeaten Filipino warrior Charlie Suarez Saturday, May 10th. Pechanga Arena, and in the co-main, Southern California's own Raymond Muratala battles Zaur Abdalaev for the interim lightweight crown. It's a night of world-class action you don't want to miss. Again, Saturday, May 10th at Pechanga Arena, San Diego. Tickets on sale now at AXS.com, but you can win them by calling right now at 833-288-0973. All right, we'll take time out while Polly answers the phones, and then he'll get you ready for a Rindle Report. Anything to tease?
Anything to
tease? For the Rindle Report.
The headline is just stupid criminal, and it happened in Pittsburgh. So we can talk about that.
Okay, Pittsburgh, I like that. It's related to where the Padres are right now.
Phillies and Braves are doing something stupid.
All right.
Play all about it.
Dumb stuff coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I need a haircut.
Ooh, so do I.
Yeah, I can start, like, when it starts poking out from my headphones on the YouTube stream. The problem is with my new schedule, I used to have plenty of time in the middle of the day to go at like 11 a.m. and get a haircut, and then I go back to Channel 10. But now I usually go straight from here to Channel 10, and then I don't get home until long after haircut time, around, you know, 6:37 p.m. So either weekends or got to take a day off now to get a haircut or something. Got to get that scheduled. So, you know, you want to look sharp on television. And not that I don't look, I mean, I look okay. I feel like the hair is starting to get over the ears.
You want to look sharp?
I want to look sharp, yeah. That's why I'm wearing this snazzy 10 News polo right now, Paulie.
Yeah, nothing says sharp like a free work polo.
Very jealous, I'm sure.
You're given.
This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Frozen Rope San Diego.
I got a Sedano Ford polo over here, actually, if you want to.
Does he just leave it in the studio for putting it on whenever he needs to? He doesn't even take that thing home?
No.
Okay. Hey, parents, here's a message from Coach Kurt at Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Then Baseball Summer League is the perfect fit for your player, starting June 16th through August 17th. Summer League includes 8 practices and 8 games. Register by April 30th and save $100. Go to San Diego. Oh, wait. After April 30th already.
Oh.
Change the copy again, Paulie. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com. I'm sure you'll get all the details there. You will also get all the details of stories that we have missed so far this morning from Paul Reindl, the Reindl Report, to wrap things up this week after our last check of traffic with Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan. And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Reindl Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Reindl Report. With Paul Reindl.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindl Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Happy Friday.
Paulie.
We have made it. Almost there.
Take your time. Explore the space here in the Reindl Report. I'm just gonna listen and enjoy what you have to present here over these last 16 minutes or so. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Ben, for how you stalled as we sit here on a Friday in San Diego, California, at 9:38 in the morning, and try to lengthen this out as long as we can to 9:53. All right, we'll
15 stop. And a half minutes.
We had some breaking news in the NBA today. There were some results from yesterday. Biggest storyline last
Clippers
night. Clippers!
Game seven! They did it. My son was very happy. We were watching the game last night. They almost blew a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter, but got it done. I thought it was interesting. Before you get to your breaking news, apparently, Tyronn Lue, mm-hmm. the coach of the Clippers, decided as his motivational tactic. Season's over if we lose, guys. Should probably be motivation enough. Called every single one of his players individually on the phone the night before the game. I don't know that I've ever heard that strategy before. I mean, you're going to see them all when they get there, and you're going to have a team meeting, and you can probably call them in individually. But he thought, he spent like hours apparently on the phone chatting with each of them for several minutes about how big the game was and how important it was. And, well, they responded. I mean, Norman Powell from San Diego was fantastic in the third quarter. I mean, he was playing.
You can just say Norman Powell. You don't always have to say Norman Powell from San Diego.
But how would you know he's from San Diego if I didn't say that?
Nobody cares.
Kawhi Leonard was also very good. Also went to San Diego State and was very, very good and has been good the whole postseason.
That's just, I understand, do it. I understand it's embedded into your
James Harden,
veins.
Who has nothing
Arizona
to do
State?
With San Diego whatsoever, as far as I know. He's probably been here a couple of times. Also had a good game.
So this story really comes as no surprise if you've been following along at all. But the breaking news just, I don't know, in the last 30 minutes or so is that Greg Popovich has announced that he will be stepping down and no longer being the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He has been dealing with a long list of health issues over the last year or so. He will be staying in the front office. In fact, he's going to be transitioning from head coach to full-time team president of basketball operations for the Spurs. So he's been there for, I mean, God, what has it been, like 25 years at least that he's been
as
the head coach?
I think, yeah. He has been Head coach since 1996, 1997, so just under 30 years.
Wow.
And before that, he was GM or in the front office in 1994, so over 30 years in the organization. And he's not leaving the organization, but yeah, had a mild stroke on November 2nd and did not return.
Never made it back, yeah.
Mitch Johnson, who is the interim coach, will remain on, I believe, as the new head coach.
Yes, they have already announced that he has been hired to the full-time coach now of the Spurs.
Remember, there was for a few years, there was talk that the next coach of the Spurs in waiting could be Becky Hammon. But
yeah.
Pop stayed along so long that she ended up taking a job as a head coach in the WNBA, where I think she's done quite well. But so Mitch Johnson gets that job. Pop, who I've always liked, you know, he was the coach at my little Division III college a couple of years before I got there, before he was famous at all. But he's never really changed. He cares. He's like Mike Schilt, but with basketball. Really cares about nothing other than basketball. Like, all the time, all day. Doesn't really have much of a personal life. The only thing that he likes, expensive wine. That's the one thing that he uses, like, all of his salary on, is just buying good wine. And otherwise, it's basketball 24/7.
Now, I saw this story in Major League Baseball, Talkin' Baseball, part of the John Boy Network. They had this story, and it says, per Jeff Passan, and I have not seen anything else, so I don't know anything else about it. So I don't know if this is even real or not. But Talkin' Baseball said yesterday, breaking news, Blooper and the Philly Fanatic. We're talking mascots here.
Blooper is the
Braves.
Braves mascot.
And the Philly Fanatic, you know what team he's the mascot for?
The Phillies,
for?
Yeah. I was clear on that one.
Yeah, Blooper and the Philly Fanatic have agreed to fight in a three-round boxing match that will take place before the Braves-Phillies game on May 27th at Citizens Bank Park, per Jeff Passan. And they said, who you got? Is that, if you're a fan of, I guess, the Phillies fan, maybe some Braves fans on that trip as well?
It's funny,
in Philadelphia. Does that do anything for you? Are you going to make sure you're in your seats 30 minutes before first pitch so that you can watch the Philly Fanatic and Blooper, the Braves mascot, in a three-round boxing match?
Christian in the chat says it's fake. I don't know.
I
know that Blooper's ears looks like the Philly Fanatic's nose, so they could be cousins in like some sort of weird sense.
When I looked it up and like was trying to Google and see if there were any other stories about it, nothing came up, so I thought maybe that's fake. And then you put, you know.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you have those battles where you get into the big roly balls and you can like bounce against each other. I mean, mascot costumes are so big and padded. I don't think you can really fight someone in them. Unless you're totally suspending reality and you're pretending that they're actual, like some sort of creatures that are fighting each other. But mostly, you know, they're just awkward guys or gals, even in big oversized costumes. Not to spoil the dream for anybody who thought they were real creatures, but they're not. Did you know, Pauly? Did you know this?
Yes.
The Padres used to have a mascot called Blooper as well. Now, they spelled it B-L-U-E-P-P-E-R.
Yes.
He replaced the beloved San Diego Chicken in 1992.
That's right.
And it was blue because the Padres were changing
navy
to the
blue
uniforms at the time. No one really liked Blooper. You don't want to be the one that tries to replace the San Diego Chicken. And then
right.
The Friar came back and everything was okay. But Blooper
was...
Yeah,
you want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
Blooper was pretty much a disaster. Kind of looked like Goofy from Disney, but in a Padres uniform, but with a blue head. It was not a good look.
Not a great mascot.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, the Padres are in Pittsburgh, getting ready to take on the Pirates this weekend. Got a story here out of Pittsburgh, some road rage that led to quite a scene. Reading here from the DelcoTimes.com, Delco, and they're calling her, let's see, this woman, Christina Salametto, 44-year-old woman, was arrested. There was some road rage. She was cut off, and she ended up getting in front of the other car. And, like, look, You live in the time in this world where you never know if anybody's got a weapon. Like I tend to kind of just chill with road rage. I used to be a lot more angry than I am now on the road. I'm like, bro, it's just, you never know what somebody's going to do. It's just not worth it. She was so upset at this driver that she got out of her car, ran over to the other car, and went to the bathroom on the hood of this person's car, and she was arrested and charged with indecent exposure, disorderly conduct, criminal mischief, and depositing waste on the highway.
You know, it's funny. When it comes to road rage, I generally go with the... I'd say the Ron...
Number two.
The Ron Burgundy philosophy. Like, if someone cuts me off, but, you know, they do it quickly and efficiently, it's like, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. You know, like, wow, nice job. I mean, you really took a tiny space, jumped right in front of me, and you pulled that off. Good job. Like, I really don't get road raged. If I'm behind a car at a stoplight and they're not going because I know they're probably looking at their phone, I'll go, all right, I'll just wait here for a minute or two. I mean, as long as you don't make me miss the stoplight, I'll let you finish whatever you're tweeting out or something. Take your time. It's fine. I will eventually get to the next light, and it'll be exactly the same. I didn't really lose any time. I am one of the most laid-back drivers I think you can imagine.
I think so.
Yeah.
I've only been in a car with you like twice.
The only thing that really bothers me is when people aren't aggressive enough driving. Like, I was getting on the freeway by Channel 10 yesterday, and the car in front of me just would not accelerate, and I was going...
That's infuriating.
I was going, you have to go faster. We're about to merge. We've got like 40 feet to merge onto the 94, where everyone's going 80,
you're
going 30, and I can't get around you, and now I'm in danger because you are not driving aggressively enough. Get a little internal road rage going. Hit that accelerator and let's move it, buddy. Don't be so careful when you're getting onto the freeway. You're causing trouble for all of us behind you. That's the only thing that gets me kind of going, is when people are too cautious on the roads.
Got you all fired up. I kind of like it.
Right.
Nothing more infuriating than you're on the freeway, especially when there's not even that much traffic, and you're like, why are we doing 54 miles an hour? Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. And especially if you're in the left lane, like, what are you doing? If there's a lane just for you. It's way over on the right. You can go 55 all you want in that lane. But over here with the regular people, we're going 75 or 80 over here because that's what makes sense. And you're going with the flow of traffic.
And that's your Rider Report on a Friday.
Fail.
I know. So got 5 minutes. What are we going to do?
Fail. All right. Let's empty out the notes here. What do we got? Bill Shaken from the LA Times asked the question. Paulie?
I need to find another story.
Should the Dodgers be load managing their position players? Because, of course, they are so good and so shoo-ins to make the playoffs that should they take a page from the NBA and be giving, you know, a week off to Freddie Freeman here or there. Take a series off Mookie Betts and stop pressing these guys to feel like they have to post and be out there every single day. Wouldn't it be more smart of the Dodgers to say, don't worry about your numbers. Don't worry about playing 152 games. We're fine. You play 115, 120. We'll let some of the younger guys play a little bit more. We have no concern about winning enough games to get to the playoffs. Not going to chase, you know, the dream of 120 wins. Let's just cruise into the playoffs with 102 and have everybody as rested and healthy as possible. What do you think of that potential strategy for the Dodgers?
I just am still in the mindset of you pretty much go as much as you can until that playoff berth is clinched. You clinch your division, you clinch the playoff berth, then you can, you know, let up on the brakes just a little bit, right? I still want my guys like tuned up a little bit before, like we talk about it every September, like that last week, hey, this team's been clinched for 9 days, you know, is that too much time off? And I think it is. I think there is something to that, but
I know that if the Padres were ever in the incredible position where they felt so overwhelmingly confident that they were going to go to the playoffs, and they told Manny Machado, Manny, we want you to take some time off. Manny would have none of that.
No,
there's just no chance that he would accept that.
Baseball players, they've been playing every day for their entire professional careers. I think that's just how they're wired.
People are calling for the topic wheel or for things Ben likes. We haven't really done that here in 2025. Tried to move on from such crutches at the end of Friday.
Likes. Don't you worry.
Are you still working
we're
on stuff?
We're almost ready for the newest edition, actually.
Really? You didn't debut it today? Well, Woods would want to be here for that.
Oh,
you can't.
That. Yeah, I got to wait.
You can't debut a new things Ben likes. What have I liked recently? Give me just like a taste of one or two.
I'll give you. How about your last?
What are the last? I can't even remember.
I got to go to things Ben likes.
What do I like? Because I like everything. I even like road rage and bad drivers, apparently.
Can use all those later. Let's see here.
I like having Nick Pivetta on the mound.
Well, we all like having
I like to walk. I really do.
I do like to walk.
I like to eat.
Chris says, whereas Ben likes a big old English D. I do remember saying that one when they played the Detroit Tigers. I like that logo, though. It's a good logo.
I saved that one.
I guarantee you saved. There's no way you missed that one, Paulie. There's absolutely no way you missed that one.
No, you know what? Actually, I went back. It was something like you said, I enjoy it.
I didn't say enjoy.
Or I love, maybe. You didn't say like. But.
Well, here I now will give it to you clean. I like a big old English D.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because
thank
I do.
Very much.
I do, and it's that's an honest statement for me. I wasn't just throwing it in there so you could add it to things Ben likes. I do actually enjoy it. It's one of my favorite logos in baseball.
Told us that.
It bothers it like the we just faced the Giants. You're wearing your Padres hat. Interlocking SD.
Mm-hmm.
Interlocking SF is just pretty much the exact same thing as the interlocking SD.
It's
just change the D to an F.
The LA.
It's interlocking LA. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but at least Detroit kind of makes the D their own. And, you know, it's different than all the other
D's
and hat logos. Like,
right.
It's very different than the D on your hat. Totally different D. Big D's, little D's. Everyone has their own shape of D in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Tell me all about the shapes of D's.
You know, a letter D. That's what we're talking about.
Like a lowercase D, it hangs to the left. Uppercase D, it's to the right.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Did you ever have trouble when you were little getting the D's and the B's going the right direction? Like,
no.
When you wrote them, the B was always, you just did it. It was easy.
I learned if you go like this, bed, like think of like a bed. You got your B is your left hand and then the D.
Whoa, that is so cool. It's
did
like
I just
the
blow your
it's like the headstand of a bed and on the left side is the B and the right side is the D.
Yeah.
That is awesome. What a great way to end the week. Paulie.
News you can use.
You blew
right
my
here
mind to end
Woods.
The week. All right, we will hopefully see Woodsy on Monday morning, hopefully after some wins over the Pirates or Paulie. I'm Ben. Braden's next. Have a great Friday, everybody, from all of us here at The Fan.